if my wife asks, the bathroom was thoroughly cleaned, because she was like, make sure the bathroom's clean before Justin comes over.
Okay.
And I looked at it and I was like, there is toothpaste in the sink from the boys, and there's like, it's not dust, but it would be like a lint from the dryer was on the ground, so I probably could have swept, but like, there's no dead cockroaches or anything. I got those picked up.
And if Marianne asks, I took out the garbage.
Okay, fair deal.
Yep, cool.
Okay, good. Good. We're on the same page then.
Woo.
So all's good.
It's all good in the hood. We've been doing this for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we didn't really get into it on the year thing because that was just a big clusterfuck of fun.
Yeah.
But like, it's been a year.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody that's been leaving the reviews. That's fantastic.
Definitely, yeah.
Continue doing that. That being said, I can't keep this going indefinitely because my wife is already annoyed by the packages being sent out. And she doesn't really understand that this is not only me just paying for these CDs to be made, but also just paying free for the packet for the packaging and the shipping.
Nice.
So that can't go on indefinitely. So I appreciate it, but I'm going to have to cut that off at some point. So I won't put a definite date on it, but let's say get them in while you can, because a week from now, I might be cutting those off.
Yeah, could be anytime.
So I appreciate it. Again, just leave a review on whatever format you listen to, iTunes, any app, wherever else you listened. I don't know.
iTunes, Google Play, whatever your podcatcher of choice is.
Yes. Just leave a review. Send us a link via remakemepodcast@gmail.com or Facebook us, either one of our personal ones or the Remake Me Facebook page.
Yep, but we'll all make sure it gets to Russ and he can send those out.
Yep. So thanks for your support. Keep doing it. Yeah. And here's my disclaimer if I'm cutting you off.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get in. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
Old Boy. 2003 South Korean film synopsis.
A man is imprisoned for 15 years mysteriously and then is suddenly released. And he goes on a search for answers and vengeance.
That was a great synopsis while also not being spoilery. Like, you just sold the movie right there.
You're welcome.
Overall thoughts on Old Boy?
This is a fantastic movie that totally is great and is super weird and fucked up.
Absolutely. 100% of what you just said. Like, I was so nervous that you were going to show up and be like, meh. But I feel like this, like the excitement, anticipation I was feeling when you were talking about Halloween is what I was feeling now. So like, I feel like we can just geek out. Cause like, I started writing notes for this and I realized it was just like the shot. And those were the first three shots of the movie. So I was finally like, I think we're just going to have to sit back and just cinematically jerk off to this movie.
Right. I got tired of writing is great. And then it's just like, I'm not going to take that note because the last four things I said end in is great.
So, all right. So we definitely deal with spoilers. This is 100% a movie.
Yeah.
Go watch this
Go
movie.
Watch it right now. If you haven't, fuck us. Who cares? Go listen to us whenever you're done watching Old Boy from 2003, the original Korean one. Go watch it. And we're going to talk about spoilers. Okay. M. Night Shyamalan, take note. Because this is a movie with a twist done right. Because the twist doesn't fundamentally change things. The twist is you didn't know what you've been watching the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it fills out the information rather than going and making you go, huh, I guess that was neat.
And it's not My Bloody Valentine, where it not only changes things, but the film tricked you. It didn't lie to you.
Right.
I don't even say tricked. It just didn't give you pieces of information.
It came out of nowhere.
It just didn't give you pieces of information,
right,
which existed the entire time they were there. Nothing changed.
There's nothing to look back on and go, oh, this makes sense since he was the killer in My Bloody Valentine.
Yes.
So, okay, that explains that. That explains that. This twist.
You're finding it out with the protagonist.
Yes. And I love how it's framed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole movie is a red herring, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie is leading you down the path of why was he imprisoned? That's mm-hmm. the whole point of the movie.
Yep.
And then he says, but it's not that's the point wrong of the question.
Yes, exactly. That's and the he's wrong telling question. He's telling you as the audience yeah. that as well.
All right, let's get into it. And again, spoilers, twist ending, fantastic. Go watch this movie. Stop it now if you haven't.
We haven't had this much excitement since Jack Frost. So, in importance of Remake Me, Old Boy ranks right up there with Jack Frost, which we've established is year zero for film. Okay?
Yes.
So
every film that came both before it and after it is influenced by Jack Frost.
And Old Boy came after Jack Frost. So
yes, it did.
If you give me enough time, I will find out how Old Boy is
go.
Taken.
Well, yeah, okay. Sure.
Okay. So we open on South Korean businessman drunk off his ass.
Yeah. And my first note here is drunk guy is great.
Wait, no. That's not where we open. We open on the roof.
Well, yeah.
So we
Tarantino this thing.
So we open on the roof and you have a dude in a suit holding another guy off of a building who's wearing a suit and he's got him by his tie.
And he's holding a big fluffy white animal.
Yes.
Dog.
And you're like, what the fuck am I watching right now? And then the most kick-ass soundtrack cuts in. And then we go to drunk business guy.
Right. And so I hadn't seen this movie. It's one of those things that was always like on my list, but I'd heard that it was like really graphic. And so I was like, I don't know that I want to watch that. But I've always heard that it's a great movie. But I knew, like, I'd seen the shot of when he's, like, crazy with the crazy hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, drunk guy is great. I don't know who drunk guy is. He must be some ancillary character.
He is, even this scene, he is in real life, or if you were actually dealing directly with this guy, he would be a drunken douchebag.
Yeah, totally.
But watching him, he is a charming, funny, drunken douchebag,
exactly.
Right? Like, he's
the best and the worst at the same time.
Yes, exactly. He is me and my friends. Like, that's the one.
You try to piss in cop stations?
Yes. He was. He was genuinely funny at points.
Yeah.
You know, like, he gets rescued by his buddy. He comes and kind of bails him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's simultaneously, like, telling the cops thank you and then, like, tells them to go fuck themselves and runs away like a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
It's great.
I feel like we're going to, every the end of every like thing that we talk
great.
About, we're going to be like, it's wonderful.
It's great.
Yeah. We like Old Boy, by the way, in case you can't tell.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about now? Because this is a fat guy.
Oh, yeah.
What this actor
mm-hmm.
had to do, like through body transformation,
mm-hmm.
is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he's genuinely like this lovable fat drunk guy. And you just think, oh, he's all roly poly and fun and
he's
obnoxious.
He's a 40-year-old dude.
Yeah.
Or
he's a salary man.
Yep, exactly. Good. That's not what he ends up, however.
No.
Because he ends up being fucking Jackie Chan.
I mean, even Jackie Chan's a little pudgy.
Yeah.
He ends up being like almost like Bruce Lee.
Yep, exactly. Which is commendable.
Yeah.
So he gets drunk. He's out. And then his friend's like, where the fuck is Odae Young?
Yeah.
Or Odae-soo. Odae-soo, I'm sorry.
Yes,
Odae-soo is our character.
Yeah. He's talking on the phone with his daughter. It's her birthday. And then he hands the phone to his friend and then disappears.
And then our next shot is on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and you see a trapdoor that is just someone's feet opening a trapdoor, and then Odae-soo throws his head out and is freaking out, saying, why am I here? Why am I here? Tell me why I'm here. It's been 2 months. How long am I going to be? And you're like, holy shit, I couldn't live in a room for 2 months.
No.
That's terrible. How fucking long? That's insane. So he's just tell me how much longer. Just tell me how much longer.
1 month, 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah, because 2 months is a fucking long time
yeah.
to be in a room by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It can't get worse than that.
No. It's crazy.
Except it does.
Yeah.
It gets way worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
It gets exponentially worse than that.
He counted on his fingers first before that. one to exponential.
Nobody can do that because we get a voiceover, which is kind of consistent throughout the film.
Mm-hmm. Because he is telling his story.
He's telling the story at this moment to the guy on the roof. He's like, he's holding him off the edge. Just let me tell you my story.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells us how long. So 2 months is terrible. Right. How long is this dude in this room?
I mean, ultimately, he's there for 15 years.
15 years. He is in that one room. Crazy.
Yeah. So we see him go through transformations. His hair gets longer and crazier. And there's the great shot of him with the super crazy hair. And then the music kicks in and the gas comes on. And he goes sleepy bye-bye time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've cut his hair. At one point, they take items from the place and get blood samples and everything. And then he's watching the news and learns that he has just murdered his wife.
Yes. But so obviously he didn't.
He's been framed.
Correct. And then we get a series of montages kind of showing his day-to-day life. So he just watches TV. He gets to see the statements about his wife getting murdered. Doesn't have people in his life. He just longs for someone. He masturbates to exercise videos. Mm-hmm. He kind of watches.
But to this one, it's the singing.
I'm sorry. Yes,
the singing. Woman singing.
Yep.
And he
gets to see, you know, South Korean, the 15 years of South Korea, kind of in a montage
of the world
of the world, but from a South Korean lens.
Yeah.
And you get the idea of exactly what this guy is going through a little bit.
Right. And all the time he is just filling notebooks with diary entries.
Yes. Predominantly he's focusing on why am I here? Who could have put me here?
Mm-hmm.
Who have I wronged? And he has a huge fucking list of every trivial thing that he might have done to upset someone throughout his life as why he would have been there. Right?
Right, because he's not only trying to atone for his sins, like throughout the movie we find out that he's had sex with 260 married women or more. So not only he has not been a good guy, he's trying to simultaneously atone and try to reveal who could have possibly done this. Who have I wronged the most? Who would justify putting me in here?
Mm-hmm. His meals mm-hmm. are always the same.
Right.
So every day he's getting these chicken dumplings, right?
Okay, yeah.
what?
I like that you thought they were chicken.
Is it not chicken?
I mean, there could be anything in the dumpling. We don't know. All we know is that there's too many onions, too many scallions in it.
I feel like chicken comes in there someplace.
I think you're just thinking of chicken and dumplings. I think you're trying to westernize this.
That's probably that's probably what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Which is ironically...
I don't think chicken is... Like, it would be either pork or shrimp or some sort of sea product. I mean, it might be chicken, but it's probably more likely to be either pork or seafood.
Okay. Regardless, it's dumplings. Can we agree on this?
They are on a peninsula. The ocean is borders most of the country.
What's the sea chickens?
The chicken of the sea?
No, sea chickens.
Oh, are you you trying to be, what's her face? Jessica Simpson? Remember when she had her show with Nick Lachey?
You're making a pop culture reference from 1999?
Yeah.
Nice.
She thought
I just spent like 5 minutes trying to think of the crocodile hunter's name and I can't.
Steve Irwin.
There we go. I wish that I would remember that 10 minutes ago. It would have been funny.
Crikey, it's a chicken of the sea. That was bad. I did not.
Yeah, you referenced it. Yeah. Okay. Let's just keep moving on.
I didn't commit.
So at some point he decides he is going to change, right?
I mean, he's atoning. He doesn't make a conscious decision to change or anything. After five years, he decides he wants revenge.
That's what I meant. He's physically going to change because he wants revenge. Okay, so he starts He starts watching videos on how to fight. He starts hitting the wall. He starts exercising and things, and basically spending his time seeking revenge. Mm-hmm. At this time, also, he ends up with 3 chopsticks instead of 2.
That's the big thing.
And he decides that that's going to be his way out. So he starts Shawshank Redemptioning his wall.
Mm-hmm. He steals a chopstick and just starts taking it out brick by brick.
And eventually he makes his way to the outside world.
He gets a handout.
Yep.
And feels the rain and says, 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
1 month, I'm going to be out of here.
Then cut to a super awesome shot
mm-hmm.
of him in a field, in a green grass, a park, inside of a trunk. And he pops out. Except he's not in a park.
He's on top of a roof.
He's on top of a roof, which has been planted with grass.
Which is a lot of that in Asian culture.
But I'm saying just the visual of it, too. You assume he's... That's what I'm talking... It's just... It's not what you expected. Because you're like, he's in a park. Holy shit, he's not in a park.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he meets Poodle Man.
Yeah.
And at first, he's so excited to see him. He's physically touching him. He's rubbing him because this is the first real interaction he's had with a person.
He hasn't seen humans other than, like, a socked shoe, a socked foot. Like, he hasn't touched another human. And he just feels his hand on his face. He, like, puts his face up to his face. He grabs the other guy's hand and puts it on his face. It's one of my favorite moments of the whole film.
So he sits down with the man after he saves his life because the guy tries to commit suicide. That's where you find out how he grabbed his neck.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs his tie. And he's like, I have to tell you my story. Sits down, tells him his whole story. And this is an example of the like darkly comedic humor that we see throughout the film.
Yeah.
Because the guy sits there and listens to this huge story about how he's been incarcerated for 15 years. He doesn't know why. Huge deal, right?
Right. So this man has become his confidant.
Yes.
Like, he has just unweighed himself upon him.
And the Poodle Man says, okay, let me tell you my story. And Ode Su stands up and fucking walks away.
Yep.
Just walks away. And the guy's, like, kind of yelling at him. And Ode Su is just going.
Just walks out of the building. He sees his first woman in an elevator.
Mm-hmm. And is scared to death of her.
Scared to death, I think, of what he might do to her.
Yes.
And like losing his shit and maybe creams his pants.
I would assume so.
It seems like that was what mm-hmm. they were going for. So then she's
steals her glasses.
Yeah. She's like talking to the police and then boom, there's Poodle Man jumped off the building through a car,
which is hilarious.
Yeah.
In a super, super serious movie. Like, Park Woo Chan, one of those combinations.
I don't think it's any of those combinations. I think it's Chan Soo Park.
Okay. This director is fucking incredible that he can do that. Like, you have something so serious and you are with this guy, but at the same time, you're like laughing at someone committing suicide.
Yeah.
The darkest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But he manages to pull it off.
Yeah.
And he does it a lot throughout this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bizarre tone that he's able to do.
It's fantastic.
And I've seen enough South Korean cinema that I know that that's kind of a thing, that they have this weird comedic tone that goes throughout. But this is the one that I've seen that best translates
mm-hmm.
to our culture. Because I don't want to call it best, because I don't, if it's not cultural,
right.
It's hard to say what's better and what's, but the one that best translates for me is this.
You think that, I mean, I assume that's probably a product of the Korean War and then just the prolonged DMZ and everything, the tensions with China and North Korea right there.
I mean, I think that might be part of it, but I don't think that you can, with most sociological studies like that, because that's really what you're talking about, you can't find that one answer to explain.
It's like in the wake of World War II, Japan, Kurosawa came out and revitalized the samurai film and basically went back to feudal Japan to tell stories about modern day Japan at that time.
Tying this back to kind of the point of the podcast, there's a documentary called American Nightmare, and it's the whole thing is kind of follows the trajectory of horror in the United States, mm-hmm. and it looks at it through a historical lens. So Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a reaction to the Vietnam. The zombies in the 1980s are a result of commercialism, and it follows you through. Torture porn is right after September 11th, and it looks at it through a historical lens, which is super interesting, and I'm sure there's valid points to it, mm-hmm. but it's also not a direct correlation. So to answer your question about the comedic Korean tone, I can't do that. It's like, why does Bollywood have to have a song? Every movie is a musical in Bollywood. It's because it's what they've decided is interesting and what they want to see.
Right, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have cultural touchstones that come from world events.
I'm saying American Nightmare is correct in everything that it's saying, but it's also not just as simple as saying everybody liked Dawn of the Dead because everybody was trying to make money in the stock market.
Yeah.
It's not
like,
a one-to-one.
I like more like zombies are reaction to globalism more than commercialism. Mm-hmm.
But that's my point. The sheer fact that we can have that debate means that there's not one answer. Mm-hmm. Where are we at right now? I'm sorry.
He's leaving the building. The building that he
was
on.
We're still at
the
beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
So that's how good this movie is. We need to talk about every scene.
He goes and basically meets some street punks and steals one of their cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And
just to test out whether the fact that the training that he's done can translate.
Well, I think he just genuinely wanted a cigarette for 15 years. And then the guy's like, hey, you took my cigarette. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, well, can 10 years of imaginary training really work in the real world? We'll see. I love that he gets knocked back, does a flip and like lands flat. And it just like basically looks dead. And then just pulls his hand to his mouth and takes another drag off the
cigarette.
Yeah, because
he's relishing in the fact that I finally have the cigarette, something I haven't been able to experience mm-hmm. for 15 years, for sure.
It also seems really badass. but he calls him a dick shit.
Yeah, and he's
like,
he
dick
loves
shit,
it.
That's a new word. The TV doesn't swear, so I'm learning new words.
Yes.
And I learned a new word, and it was great.
And he that comes back up at points.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, there's a moment where he says, you referenced it, but at the end of it, it says, can 15 years of fake training or 10 years of fake training translate? And then the movie pauses for a minute and he answers that question and says, apparently so. And this is one of the first moments that we see in the film that I think is pulled off probably nowhere else that I've ever seen. And what he does throughout this film is he does a series of single nuanced stylistic things that usually, if it's the only time you see it, is jarring. And you're like, why did they do that? Do you know Boondock Saints?
From high school, yeah.
Okay. At the beginning of Boondock Saints, they introduce characters and then they do like the pause and then they tell you all the information about them at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
but that only happens for like the first 5 minutes and it never happens again.
Yeah,
that's always bothered me because it doesn't continue. It's not fluid throughout the movie, right?
Yeah, certainly.
However, Old Boy is nothing is consistent. He does 10, 15 of these little stylistic things, every one of them once, but that in and of itself turns into the style of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Later, there's a scene that we'll talk about where they start a scene with a hammer. And there's a moment where the movie pauses and they show little dots like a weatherman almost, dot, 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 and it's showing you the trajectory. If he were to bring this hammer down, it would hit this guy in his head. That's the only time that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dozen or so different times throughout this movie where these weird stylistic things happen that if it was the only thing that happened in the movie or in another movie, it would bother me. But because he does them one time, that is the style of the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you see less experienced and less talented directors kind of, you know, steal something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, Old Boy did this, but the other did it once, you know. And, you know, they'll steal kind of that. And that's what they don't get is the fact that this is a hyper-stylized movie, but the style is every emotion or every moment has its own style, mm-hmm. and that is the style.
Right. Imagine, so the bad version of that would be, imagine Terminator only saw like his Terminator vision and like diagnosed people with the little red things once.
Yeah.
that happens throughout the movie. That's a style. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But it's so ballsy and it works so well in a way that I can't believe in this movie. And that's the first time that I really feel like we see it.
Yeah. So then he walks into a restaurant and, oh no, he is, he is staring at fish and a dude walks up to him, hands him a wallet and a phone and is like, don't ask me any questions. I don't know shit. And
so, it's a wallet full of cash,
right,
and a cell phone.
Yeah. And so then he goes into the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Meets, I never quite heard the name. Is it Mido or Midu?
I don't. The other thing is like, I know it's Odesu, mm-hmm. but because that's, I'm sure we are saying this so white right now. We're saying Odesu right. So white because different people saying it, it sounded like a whole different name to me.
Right.
So it's like Midu. Let's just say Midu. You good with Midu?
I hear him say, Odesu and Desu tons.
Yes.
I feel like every time I heard Midu or Mido, it was within a bunch of Korean that I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And so I never quite picked it up.
Let's do Midu.
Okay, Midu. So he meets Midu for the first time. She is a chef at a restaurant. She's a sushi chef, which they talk about is, you know, there's not a lot of women because they're supposed to have warm hands and everything. And then he wants to eat something that's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes back with a live octopus.
And dude fucking eats this octopus.
Yeah. Before he comes back with the octopus, the phone rings, and he has a conversation with the bad guy.
Yes.
Do you like the clothes? How do you like the clothes? Things like that. And then, oh no, it's while he's eating the octopus. I don't know. He passes out with the octopus still in his mouth, and it's wiggling around, yes. And it's cool.
We need to focus on this because this is a big deal. Like, this is kind of one of the things the movie is famous for.
Mm-hmm.
This is not saying he's supposed to eat a live octopus, or it's the movie is telling you that. Dude eats a live octopus, right. And making this movie, he ate like a half a dozen or something. Don't quote me on the real number, but they did take after take.
Yeah.
And he ate a whole bunch of them.
But to be fair, live octopus is a delicacy in a lot of Asian countries.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not weird to me.
No.
Because I'm American.
America. We like our sushi. We like our sushi cooked. I think that was the right time to fuck up that word. America.
And so he wakes up at Midu's apartment.
Mm-hmm. And she's reading his notebook.
Yes.
And he immediately feels violated, scoops them all up, and then he bangs his head. I wonder if that was intentional, if that was in the script.
When he lays down? Yeah. No, I don't think he did. Yeah. No, I think that was a good actor rolling with it. So yeah. He goes to lay down and like bonks his head on the side table and just winces and then lays back down. That was a good actor rolling with it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's like Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained, only way less so.
I don't remember that.
Have you seen Django Unchained?
Yeah.
When he smashes his hand down on the table
mm-hmm.
and breaks the glass and there's blood all over
his hand. Oh, I did hear. I don't remember that, but I remember hearing that.
He really had glass in his hand. He really was bleeding and just rolled with it. And you can see everybody kind of look at the camera. And then they bring out that woman and he just smears his real blood on her face. And she just rolls with it.
You have hepatitis now. And you can see
that she's like fucking freaking out, but trying to hold it in.
Yeah.
Which is perfect for that scene. And
you know the movie.
Finally that man won an Oscar.
You know the movie Carrie, right?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
So you haven't seen it, but you know the concept and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in which the first time I watched it with my wife, we were watching it and we were like, holy shit, did that really happen? And we rewound it and we're like, I think that chick just got hit in the face with a fire hose, like the end of a fire hose. It looked like it got shot out of a cannon and hit her in the face. And she did. She like got knocked out and like concussed, and that's the shot that they left. And it was obviously a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So watch for that when we get there. All right. It's one of those things. Like, I'm glad you're alive. I'm so sorry that happened, but that looked great.
That.
Well, and if you're the actress, you're like, I hope you keep it, or else that was pointless for me to go through.
Exactly.
So Midu and Odesu start developing kind of this relationship immediately. They feel very close.
He immediately tries to rape her while she goes to the bathroom.
So he tries to rape her, and then she gives him permission to rape her? in like the next scene.
Yeah.
Is this a cultural thing?
I don't think so. But basically, like, he tries to, she takes a knife in and is like, okay. She says the lock on the door is broken. So
don't
try to come in. And then he comes in. And then she has a knife for her protection, but she just hits him with the butt end of it.
Yes.
And so I think that she was just a weird lady who was weird and I don't want to say she wanted it, but I want to say she wanted it.
That's terrible.
I want to say that this imaginary character who's not a real woman and may or may not represent any real woman who has ever existed, I think in that moment that was her weird way of trying to say, hey, come have sex with me, but I'm going to fight you. And then she realized she had to be more explicit and say, hey, if you try that again, I'm going to fight you, but don't stop. And that was fucked up.
It's fucked up that you had to say that. I'm so glad that you...
I walked through that honey trap. It's just getting worse everywhere I step.
The views and opinions expressed by Justin do not necessarily reflect Russ's attitude.
May or may not. Or may.
So they... Do they... whether or not it happens now, they consummate the relationship.
That's way later.
Okay.
That's another way where I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And where I think the remake, as when we get there, fails is because they develop the relationship and they go through shit together before consummating the relationship. And it feels much more real than where it just feels weird and forced in Old Boy in the 2013 version.
The 2013, I think it's more supposed to, it feels more carnal and sexual, like you're hot, I'm hot, let's fuck, as opposed to this one, which feels like a relationship.
Right.
Chronologically, I don't.
We also at this part see his knuckles.
Oh, yeah, they're just...
And they're fucked up and awesome. Like, they're super flat from
punching a brick wall for 10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Which 10 months still would have been a long time.
Yeah. But no, it was 12 times that.
Yes. So he decides he's going to go on this journey to try to start figuring out what happened or who's responsible for it, right? Mm-hmm. He hooks up with his old friend who owns an internet cafe. And through us, he remembers that the name Dragon was what the dumplings he used to eat all the time. So they go to 100 different, restaurants mm-hmm. to try to find out exactly where these dumplings are from.
Right. Cause he ate a dumpling that had a little piece of paper that said Blue Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he knows.
Yes.
But he knows he's eaten that food for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that food.
So he has to try every dumpling. Yeah. Or every place with the name Dragon tries that dumpling, ends up finding out after huge ordeal where it's from, follows an odd delivery.
I think we've already skipped over the hammer scene.
No.
Oh no, the Blue Dragon follows as the hammer scene.
Yeah. He has to get to the place.
Right.
So he follows the Blue Dragon delivery driver, figures out that he has to go to the 7.5 floor
mm-hmm.
and ends up going inside of the compound that he was housed at for so long.
Yeah. This is where your one shot comes in.
Yep. So it's the guard basically that's standing there watching. He holds it up. You see that super artistic shot.
And then he's just standing there holding the hammer and the guy looks back and sees him and is like pissing himself scared. And he's like shaking. And you see him trying to grab a gun or something that was on his
mm-hmm.
his ankle. And, like, Desu is just savoring it and then brings down the hammer.
Yep.
we're going to make the same joke.
Yeah, what we were going to say. And then he ends up going into the manager of the Forest Hotel.
Yeah.
Who I want. So this is a bleached, white haired Korean guy. I want to see a movie around this guy. No, wrong guy.
This is Bling guy.
Yes, this is Bling guy. So he's just this schmimy,
yeah,
like pimp style dude that runs this, mm-hmm, right? And Oh Dae-soo demands that he tries to tell him why he was there. He says, "I just run the place. Here's what I have for you. It's some tapes of our conversation because everything's confidential." Mm-hmm. And he listens to these tapes.
But first, he tapes him down to the chair and removes one tooth for every year that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He removes 15 of this guy's teeth with a hammer.
Yeah. Not in a bashing way, in a prying way. Yes. He uses it as
the claw of the hammer.
Yes.
To pull out the teeth. Fuck.
Yeah. I had one tooth pulled and it blew by a professional.
Yeah. Marianne had a tooth pulled. And as they're pulling it out, they basically shattered into like 50 pieces. And so they basically trying to get them off, like fucking cut up her gum and shit. And
yeah, that's what I had.
It healed totally wrong. And
I've got a fucked up picture as you talk right now. I'm going to find.
Okay. So he pulls out his teeth. He gets the tape and he plays the tape and basically says, hey, oh. He doesn't play the tape yet. He gets into the awesomest fight. One of the most awesome fights I've ever seen. And it's all one take.
This is a huge deal.
One shot. And I think they did it like 30 times or something crazy.
It had to have been rehearsed. But first, the doctor stepped out for a moment, and that's the... Like, I just took a picture of, like, the chunks of teeth laying on, like, the little tray beside me.
Yeah. There's a lot of bloody chunks of teeth there. That's fun. That's a fun photo.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Should put that on your Christmas card next year.
Okay. So, this is a big deal. And cinematically, this is a big deal. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like there should be classes taught on this.
I'm sure there are.
Because what you get is 5 minutes, without exaggeration, because mm-hmm, people are always like, oh, I was there for, it was 15 minutes. No, 5 minutes probably, solid, of one take of Oh Dae-soo taking on 30 dudes.
Yeah.
And it is a long shot tracking down this hallway.
And like a minute and a half into it, he gets stabbed in the back.
Yes. And this is the way, there's a tiny degree of samurai copness to this, of like people waiting back, a pinch of that. But
not as bad as in the other one.
No, but this is the way that you do that. Because obviously in any real life situation, 30 dudes are probably going to be able to take on any one dude.
Right.
But because they're constricted to this narrow hallway, it's not as easy for them, mm-hmm, as just to dogpile on top of him, right?
And you see that they do at some, and they do at points, the beginning, like at points, yep, yeah.
And also,
they just beat the shit out of him.
Yes, and he is kind of stuck in the middle at times and just kind of flailing wildly 360 mm-hmm around him to try to keep them. But they get shots in. Mm-hmm. They end up breaking. They hit him with pieces of wood. He gets stabbed in the back.
Yeah. He is flaily and they are flaily. And that's why there's a lot of misses. But they don't seem like, oh, that was a miss that was supposed to connect. Bad Hollywood, you know,
no,
like
no.
Luke kicking the slip guard at Jabba's palace. They weren't just like whiffs that were supposed to hit. Like, it's like, I'm freaked out. I have this piece of wood and I'm going to swing at you,
and
but
jump
I'm scared
back
of you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or I'm going to try to throw it at you and miss very badly.
Yes. And this is really something, if you don't think that this movie is for you to watch, just, I'm sure this clip's on YouTube, I would imagine, or there's analyses of this
scene.
Yeah. Watch this scene, because it really is done well. Mm-hmm. At one point, he drops the hammer, which is pretty awesome,
yeah,
and then he kind of has to go backwards. So the guy's, like, he's trying to get to the end of this hall, and he ends up deciding to go backwards,
mm-hmm,
to get to this hammer.
Yeah.
But he's not super cop, or he's not a superhero.
No, and everybody gets winded at a certain point.
Yep.
Like, everybody's fucking exhausted, but they realize that they're still conscious and they still need to fight each other.
Yep. So it's very clear he is not a superhero.
No.
And he finally fends them all off, and he finally gets to the end. A huge relief. You're to the elevator, right? Yeah. And the elevator door pops open.
Full of guys. And I appreciate what they do here.
And then he turns into a fucking superhero.
Because cut to elevator, boom. And because that was an awesome shot. You didn't need to see that, but it was cool.
Yeah.
So you got everything you wanted.
Because it's a stylized movie. This exactly. is the only time something like that happens.
Yeah. And I appreciate that he literally walks on top of them out of the elevator.
Yes. And it is wonderful.
Yeah.
So he, where are we at now? He goes back to Midu.
Yeah.
Right? And
okay, so he gets out, and he's got a fucking knife in his back, and he has this tape.
Oh, yeah.
And he's walking down the street, and he just collapses in a crosswalk. And a dude is like, oh, my God, are you okay? Picks him up, gets him in a cab, and tells him where to go. He's like, give this man help. Take him to this apartment, which is weird. And then he revealed. You get the reveal.
Of?
This is?
A super fantastic villain.
This is the villain.
This is the guy.
This is him.
And Odesu is like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Right. Like, this is my moment that I've been waiting for 15 years. I'm face to face with you.
Yeah.
And you're a stranger. I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is another thing that old boy does wrong, is that they show the villain a couple times without showing his face. And this one's like the first time you see him, you totally see his face. Because his face doesn't matter because you don't know shit about him.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to hide. There's no da-da-dun yeah. reveal.
Oh, it was his brother.
No.
No, you as the audience know just as much about him as Odesu does, which is nothing.
Yeah. It's not quite as good as the Return to Frogtown, or no, the, yeah, Return to Frogtown reveal when it's his twin. Just saying.
Okay.
Throwing that out there.
Thanks.
Yeah. So now we meet my guy that I want to see the movie for. And this is like, this is the Robert Zadar from Samurai Cop. Like, it's his number one henchman.
We don't see him till like the end of the movie.
No, he's there throughout. He's just like chilling though. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's such a commanding presence.
It's only the last two. Because this is, oh man.
No, he's there with him, dude. But he's just
The villain has just dropped him in the apartment. He takes him to Midu. Right?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't want to argue. This is stupid. Why are we arguing about this? I do this. This is what I do with the podcast.
Sorry.
Because I fucking go, hey, fucking run into a wall.
Regardless, let me just talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
I want to see a fucking movie about this dude's sidekick.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say. Thanks for letting me say that.
You're welcome.
Because that guy's fucking awesome. He doesn't do a fucking thing throughout the whole movie, but I'm just looking at this guy, and I'm like, that guy has seen some shit, and he has killed some people for this dude,
mm-hmm.
and... this is a good lackey. Like,
yeah.
I want, if I'm Super Shredder, I want him to be my guy.
He's your Bebop?
No.
And your Rocksteady?
No. He's the other guy. Remember the guy from Ninja Turtles? Like the guy
Krang?
That trained? No. He was just the Asian dude that like trained the Foot Clan and stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's him.
Okay.
He's the nameless right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who I want as my right-hand man.
Gotcha.
Not Samuel L. Jackson. Wait, that wasn't Samuel L. Jackson anyway.
No. That was the that weird
woman.
Lady.
Not that woman.
Every the time woman we talk about Mortal something Kombat. That's great in Oldboy, I want to talk about how it's bad because they do the exact same thing, only worse in the 2013
you just
version.
Okay, we're on the same page because I didn't know what you... Oh, we're on the same page. All right, let's keep going.
At some point, the guy he pulled the teeth out of, I thought that that was that point... So Midu, yes, then you're right. Okay, then we meet the guy with the sidekick, and then he's like, that's when he reveals the game.
Yes. So.
Which is, you have until July 5th to find out my name and why I imprisoned you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prize is, if you win, you can have your vengeance and kill me.
Yep.
If you lose, I kill Midu. And so...
And you'll never know why you were in prison.
Right. And Odesu is like, well, why don't I just kill you now? And...
He doesn't even have that option. He takes that option even away from him.
He doesn't, you know, then you won't know. And then he's like, well, I have this button here. I have a pacemaker. I have a very weak heart. And if I press this button, I kill myself. And you won't know.
So Odesu has no recourse. So even if he's like,
he has to play the game.
Even if I don't care, even if I just want to torture you and rip your teeth out, you'll take that away from me. I have no upper hand.
Yeah.
Because you're willing to die for this. He has nothing that he can fight with.
Right.
Other than playing.
Exactly. And then he says, hey, you might want to go back to the apartment. And that's when Toothless and his henchmen are in there. They have Midu tied up on a bed. And they sit him down and are like, hey, guess what? I'm gonna pull out all your teeth. And then I'm going to totally fuck you up. And then I'm going to kill you. And he starts to do this. And Odesu starts laughing. And he doesn't understand. And then in the confusion, he gets a phone call. And there is... Or no, it was a knock on the door, this one. Right? Somehow a suitcase full of money shows up for him to leave.
Because Toothless cares about money.
Yeah.
That's all there is. That's all he cares about.
Yep.
And
so...
And Odesu had threatened to cut off his hand at one point.
Right. Because so he says, as so they're leaving, and he says, fight me. And he said, I'll cut your fucking hand off. And that's what we need to know from that scene.
Yes.
And now I need to remember what the next scene is.
Yeah. I don't remember chronologically.
Yeah, because I go straight from that scene to the end in my notes.
So, regardless.
Because I basically call it Rumpelstiltskin, because that's what the villain is.
He ends up...
It's like, I give you 5 days to tell me my name!
It is Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
It's the South Korean Rumpelstiltskin.
Totally.
So, he ends up figuring out that he knows him from school.
Mm-hmm.
From when they were in high school equivalent, right? So they're in high school together, and he sees him, this guy, having sex with his sister.
Right.
Not Odesu's sister, his sister. Mm-hmm. The villain's sister and him were having sex.
So he accidentally sees, he catches them having sex. He's about to transfer out.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells his friend, Jinwoo.
The internet cafe guy.
Yeah. About it. And that's it. He leaves.
Yes.
Never to be seen again.
Nope.
And that was the reason.
Yep. So he found out that the sister ended up committing suicide over that.
Mm-hmm.
There he goes. He figured it out, right?
Right. So Awesome. Now time to confront him.
So he confronts him. He says, look, figured it out. I put two and two together. You were sleeping with your sister. I told... She ended up killing herself over it.
Right. And despite the fact that you hypnotized my memories out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And his response is, you know what? I never repressed those memories. You just forgot because it meant absolutely nothing to you.
This is another time, I've referenced this before, Street Fighter comes into play when M. Bison is talking to Chun-Li. And he's like, the day that I came into your village and killed your entire family was the biggest day in your life. To me, it was a Tuesday. Same thing. M. Bison.
Rest in peace, Raul Julia.
He M. Bisoned him.
Yeah.
That's in the Remake Me dictionary, by the way, M. Bisoning. I'm not going to have to tell that story from now on. It's just going to be M. Bisoning.
Okay. Did Street Fighter come before or after 2003?
Oh, before. Okay. Before.
Street Fighter the movie, yeah. That movie feels like 1997.
I was going to say 1998.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there, not to get confrontational or anything.
Okay. Sorry.
And this is the moment when our villain says, you've been asking the wrong question the whole time.
Yeah. We skipped to the entrance to this is, he figures out 6 and 4. So he goes penthouse trying to, and then you have to enter a pin number.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, Lee and his bodyguard walk in the elevator.
Villain in white hair.
Yeah. And it was 06, 04. They go up, have this weird, quiet elevator ride, mm-hmm. which is awesome. He walks in and he says, get him. And I love that Odesu grabs a toothbrush, breaks it, and just fucking stabs them in the eye and throat with this broken toothbrush. And then he's about to go after Whitehair, and he's like, hey. Whitehair's like, hey, why not just try talking? And that's what starts the conversation.
Yep. So he says, the villain says, you've been asking the wrong question. The question isn't, why did I lock you up? The question is, why did I let you out?
Mm-hmm. And this is the start of the twist, which doesn't invalidate the whole rest of the movie. It clarifies the whole rest of the movie and realizes that everything that's happened in this movie is not a red herring. It's not invalidated, but you've been looking at it through the wrong lens.
Yes. And how does this reveal happen exactly?
So they,
when he had killed the wife,
mm-hmm.
Early, very, very early in the movie, they said the only item that was missing was a family album.
Right.
That correlates directly to the fact they have his semen, they have his fingerprints on a glass,
mm-hmm.
and he stole the family album.
They have his blood and his semen in this one.
Of course, it has to be Desu. However, it was obviously our villain, and he stole the family album, so Desu goes to the box, and he starts going through pictures of his daughter.
Which he leads him, it's like a 2-minute sequence of him leading him through the apartment with a laser pointer.
Yeah.
And like he just goes over Whitehair's face. He doesn't even flinch.
Yeah,
he just goes over, and then it's a purple box, and he like jiggles it, like, oh, look at this, look at this. Then the look on his face is just so joyous. Like, oh, look at that. What's in there?
But you know what? You're saying this is a joke, but the thing is, it is joyous for the villain because he has spent at minimum 15 years. Even just he obviously had to plan this before the 15 years actually started, but he's had Odesu imprisoned for at least he's had him in prison for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So he's been planning this minimally 15 years in one day. If he decided he was going to do this and acted on it immediately,
yeah,
this is his end game. He is there. So of course he's going to be bonerific excited.
Mm-hmm. And he opens up the family album and there's a nice sweet shot of Odesu, his wife and his daughter, and then you flip
just
through the
pages. Just keeps flipping through it.
And the daughter keeps getting older and older.
And then it turns out that we see the daughter is Midu,
mm-hmm.
who he had just consummated the relationship with.
Yeah.
I hope that you have watched this movie before we just said that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And Odesu reacts pretty horrifically.
Yeah. Way better than Josh Brolin. he freaks the fuck out,
and he ranges from every range of emotion during this freak out of
all the stages of grief,
of anger and trying to intimidate him, but then grovel. Mm-hmm. He says you can treat me like a dog, and he barks and he licks his shoe, and he cuts his tongue out in repentance for this.
Right. Well, right before that, Midu calls.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, I've got this box in front of me.
Yes.
And he's just like, don't open it.
No.
Don't open it. For the love of God, don't open it. It is, don't. Never open it.
Mm-hmm.
And, he begs.
And our villain is fucking loving this. Like, he is having a hard time being quiet. He has, like, a handkerchief pressed to his face because he is belly laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the crescendo. This is the punchline to what he's been waiting for so long.
Desu says, I will be your dog. And he starts barking and like, look, I'm wagging my tail. He starts licking his shoe and everything and just fucking goes crazy. And then, he cuts out his own tongue. And the villain basically sated, seemingly takes pity on him and is like, all right, you can have your revenge, and tosses him the pacemaker remote.
Mm-hmm.
And so he opens it up as the villain's walking away, and he presses the button to kill him, and it just plays a tape of them having him and his having sex with his daughter throughout the entire apartment.
Yep. And then he commits suicide in the elevator, the villain does.
Yeah.
So he even takes away that joy from Odesu.
He says, like basically, my revenge is done. Like, I have nothing more to live for, literally.
Yeah, that's why he's been living for since the moment that his sister, we didn't even talk about this, didn't really commit suicide, committed assisted suicide?
Or he caught her. We don't know. We come in mid either she's doing this on her own and he caught her, or
yes,
they're doing this together.
But
whatever.
Here's what's great about it.
Definitely.
This is recreating the opening shot of Odesu holding the guy off of the roof, where a young version of our villain and his sister, who he's been sleeping with, she's hanging off of a bridge or a dam, the same shot where he's got a hold of her. And
he's reliving this in the elevator before he kills himself. Yes.
And that's something, other things throughout the film that we have, which again, it's weird, but this had to have been it's the Boondock Saints thing where they're walking through as the people in 2003 watching this happening 15 or 25 years prior as they're walking through.
Right. And so he's there, it cuts between old him and young him. And he was a photographer, like he really liked taking pictures. And he's got her, and she's saying, "It's okay, let go." And then she like reaches up and grabs his camera, and takes one last shot of herself for him to remember her by, before she forces him to let go. And it's like there's so many movies that are like, hey, you know, this is the villain, but, you know, he maybe have some sympathy for him. No ways do, but, like, you really fucking feel in that moment for this incestuous relationship of a guy who has just spent at least 15 years trying for this one moment where he completely destroys another human being.
Well, also, the actor is good. Like, this is a charming, likable guy. Handsome guy that if you watched it through his lens, I think you could make him the protagonist almost, you know, I mean, he is doing bad things, but I mean, that added to it, that you get someone that is believable, that is charming, adds to that as well.
But he's the villain. It's an incestuous relationship. But like in that moment, your heart sinks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And like,
cause either consciously let go of his sister, who he loved to a degree that brothers should not love their sisters, or he watched her commit suicide, and you never really get that direct answer.
Yeah. And then there's a little epilogue of he tracks down the hypnotist.
He is Odesu.
Odesu, yeah. He tracks down the hypnotist and writes a great letter to her, and so she decides to help him forget what he's done. And so she says, basically, split yourself into two. One Odesu and one monster. And then the monster will turn, walk away, and die. And then you cut back, and he wakes up several steps away from the chairs, and Midu is there, and she hugs him and says, "I love you." And you can see that he is happy, but also not happy. And then that's the end. And I want to watch this movie more because I don't understand the ending. If it's just ignorance is bliss, I'm going to go on fucking my daughter. Or if
it's
all in
his
head. Or if...
I don't think there is one.
He was the monster.
I think you could turn those into... I think you could do any of those.
Yeah.
And I think it's not an out ending, you know, that I'm not going to tell you. It's such a well-constructed movie, and the director knows what he's doing so much that any of those could be the answer.
Yeah. And the actor.
Yes.
And
yeah, no,
several
not,
actors.
Yeah,
all
no,
the
no,
actors.
Yeah, it's a combination of everything, but... yeah, of the films that we've watched during this, there's my favorites. Mm-hmm. I've got my Wishmasters, Lawnmower Man's, Maniac Cops.
Yeah,
but the best movies, this is up there with them.
I think this is the best movie we've seen.
We've got this, Bone Tomahawk, Blue Ruin. I think are probably my top three best movies that we've watched.
Mm-hmm. And The Fly.
And The Fly is up there too. Yeah. but this is simply wonderful. It's cinematic to watch, the storytelling, the shots that are created, the acting, everything is fantastic in this movie. And if you're just listening to this whole thing, you might miss out on the surprise, but this is, I've watched this multiple times and I think I might enjoy it more kind of knowing like I'm going to, it's like, I'm going to eat a great meal. I've been here before. Yeah. I know that this is going to be wonderful sitting down for these 2 hours and watching this, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it just as much.
Yeah. You should also say the whole movie's in Korean.
Yeah, brace yourself for that. Haven't said. Yeah. I don't think that matters to you and I.
No.
But to everybody that would have watched the remake or prefer the remake, it matters to them.
So, I texted you a link to a video.
Yes.
That, had I known this, I wish I would have known that this was based on a manga, because maybe I would have read the manga. But I did watch the video, and it sounds like the manga might actually not be as good.
I was not intrigued to watch it after you sent me that link. Like, yeah. It felt like they made a better version of that.
Right. So it seems to me like, as we'll get into the next one, that I think the manga, maybe the manga influenced Spike Lee a little more. In that it's more boring.
It did seem like at moments like it would be more boring. Like they go in like these.
Yeah. It's a completely different story. Like the twist ending in this, in the manga, is that he saw the main character saw the villain cry as a child. And
it was a bullying story, basically.
But he saw him cry and he felt he could never be his full self if someone knew that he had a sensitive side. And so he locked him away for 10 years. And yeah.
Yeah, that felt like somebody needed to think harder about, like, they had this great concept and they're I don't know.
But also that is a very Asian thing.
That's true.
Embarrassment is...
Yep, shame.
Shame is very...
Yep.
Taken very seriously.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
Whereas as Americans were like, nah, Americans find some videos, just laugh at a dude getting hit in the crotch.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how many times have I said I appreciate it when people make fun of themselves? Like, that's what I find endearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't happen, I don't think, in most Asian culture.
No.
We didn't talk about something a couple weeks ago. Just a little. Can we have an interlude here?
Sure. Anything to not talk about the remake?
The Babadook.
Sure. Baba. Duke.
Was he gay? Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Okay, so the Babadook has kind of turned into a gay icon, like a gay horror icon.
Because he's fashionable?
no. So the truth is what happened is it was like some Netflix like algorithm fuck up to where it ended up in gay and lesbian. So people all of a sudden, like, the internet kind of exploded with like, is the Babadook gay? And like, it's kind of been adopted as like this gay icon.
That's great.
Which is kind of awesome because it's not about that at all.
No.
But like, if you just Google it, like, there's tons of them, like him wearing like a rainbow scarf and things like that.
That's awesome.
So I think that it's kind of been, I don't want to use the word hijacked because it's in fun. It's not like it's a negative thing or whatever, but it's kind of awesome that it's been commandeered for that. And they've adopted it for something that was as dumb as somebody put a digit in the wrong spot. Or it just so happened that lots and lots of people that were watching the gay and lesbian movies happened to watch Babadook or enough that it just categorized it as that. But it's pretty funny.
That is good.
Yeah. Oldboy 2003 synopsis. Can I do it?
2013. Go for it.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Boom. Your thoughts.
It's 20 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything happens much more quickly in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose a lot of the character moments.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is slightly worse and or more boring.
Okay. My overall thoughts on this is, if I were to have just watched Oldboy 2003, which I think is what this movie was made for, is people that aren't going to read subtitles need to see a wasp in their movie,
Is Josh Brolin a Wasp?
He's white. That's all that matters to America. He's white.
I don't know. Is he Italian? I always thought he was Hispanic, but I don't think he is anymore.
Anyway.
His name's Brolin. He's not, I think he's Italian.
He's not Korean, which is what the average Joe American wants, is not Korean. Okay?
Okay.
I would have been okay with this movie, meaning I would have watched it and never have thought or remembered anything about it again, just like most like Denzel Washington movies, right? Man on Fire.
Man on Fire's great.
I've watched it. I feel like I remembered having positive thoughts, but I will never revisit again.
I like that movie.
And it holds nothing to me. Okay. Oh,
we need to watch a Denzel Washington movie on this podcast. Fallen. I fucking love Fallen.
You know Fallen?
I fucking love Fallen.
Okay, good.
Find a good pairing with Fallen. Maybe
I already know.
Maybe a double demon.
I've already got a triple feature that I was debating about, one of which being Fallen.
Okay, I love that movie.
Okay.
Denzel is so good in that movie. John Goodman is so good in that movie.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about Fallen instead of Old Boy 2013.
Okay.
No, okay, this isn't a bad movie.
You never let me finish my synopsis. No. This is Russ's turn.
Okay.
Russ's turn. I would have been fine with this movie. The big issue that I have with this movie is that it is a carbon copy and it's just a photocopy of the 2003 movie. It does nothing to change it other than turning it into Whitey doing it. There is hardly anything that they have added. All they're doing is coming up with tiny tweaks to recreate exactly everything that happened in the original movie. They missed the opportunity to just, even if they just took the premise, if they did the fly thing where they took the premise, some dude's incarcerated for 15 years, which they turned into 20 in this just to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, it goes 10, 15, 20.
Just to make it better. Even if they would have changed the twist, the ending, the reason why, something, they just take the fundamental idea, but no, they just recreate everything down to fucking dumplings. Make it your own in some way instead of just recreating dot for dot. Go ahead.
I 100% agree. If I think this movie was perfectly serviceable as I just saw this. Like, if I'm back to back watch 8mm and this, then I'm like, oh, fucking shitty movies that make me feel horrible about life. Both are great. But exactly what you just said.
Yep.
So he starts off, first off, they timestamp it, which you don't need to do.
By Josh Brolin going, it's 1993. It's 1993, everyone. It's 1993.
Also, they timestamp it and then make the timeline not be able to fit, I feel like.
How old is Josh Brolin, right? That's what I was trying to figure out. So
it was 1993, and then they were in prep school in 1986. So, like, I don't know. Maybe in 7 years you can get super uber rich. But anyway, yeah. So they do everything. They just Americanize it. They Hollywoodize it. And then, so yeah, Josh Brolin's a dick. He comes on to his client's wife.
This is after the very beginning of the movie, the worst line of the movie. His secretary is like, your ex-wife Donna Hawthorne is on the phone. Nobody talks like that. That is the worst writing ever that I cannot believe made it into the movie.
Oh, sidebar. So, I don't remember when this was. This was
September,
2 weeks ago, with It Follows.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about when he teaches her as this great exposition. We recently watched, I made Marianne watch Die Hard, because the first time I made her watch it, she fell asleep halfway through.
I've never seen Die Hard.
Okay, so one of the major plot points of the movie is it's been, him and his wife are separated, they're not divorced, they're separated, but she has started using her maiden name again. And you need to know that for a lot of the movie to make sense. In the beginning of the movie, he walks into the building and is like, I'm looking for somebody. And the guy the guy just points down at a screen. And it's this touchscreen put in the person's name and put in the first letter of the person's name, person's last name, and I will tell you where they're at, basically. So he presses M for McLean and can't find her name in there. So then he's like, presses G for Gennaro, finds her name. So we as the audience know she's using her maiden name. And I feel like that is a place where I will be like, yay, that's a cool way to do exposition without just saying, hey, she's using her maiden name now. Like somebody telling it.
Mm-hmm.
So that reminded me of that. Anyway.
So Josh Brolin's a dick.
Complete dick, alcoholic, womanizer, which is the same as Odesu.
Mm-hmm.
But Odesu was charming, and you find it out. It's not like, here's everything on a platter.
Yeah, no, no. You
here's
find it
this
out
broken down man
yes.
that we're about to rebuild. Here's everything you need to know about him
yep.
in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
And I don't feel like necessarily I think we need to go chronological because it's basically repeating everything.
Yeah. So
things that are different types probably or things you notice is probably what I would want to touch on.
Right. So it's his daughter's third birthday. He finds a random little street shop in Chinatown or wherever he is. And the woman's wearing the angel wings that, you know, me do. Wears that are for Odesu's daughter.
And the thing is in a movie that wasn't such a carbon copy, I would be fine with that little nod, right? Like that little nod would be fine to me because it's not relevant to anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a little nod. It's an acknowledgement
It's for the fans, I feel like, but fans are just going to be pissed off at this movie. So maybe don't call that out. And then immediately Umbrella, which has the scratch marks on the umbrella, and I'm just like, fuck you, movie.
I don't understand that at all. Like, I'm with you. That was super frustrating.
My second note here is, why does she have scratch marks on her umbrella? I think I hate this movie already. So he's kidnapped. He gets locked up.
Yes.
He's in basically a motel room.
Yep.
Things
that I appreciate that are different here is that Odesu wasn't necessarily an alcoholic, or if he was, it's not relevant, right? That doesn't get touched on. Josh Brolin definitely is. So not only is he an alcoholic, but as they're giving him his meals, all three meals, he's getting a quart, a pint, a bottle of vodka every time.
I think it's 750 milliliters. Sure.
That's his first thing he goes for, and he chugs. So I think that's something that I like that they added is they're feeding his addiction, and they're letting him continue on with that.
To me, it is, here is this easy thing for the audience. You're too dumb to do anything like the atonement and all of that, the subtle, I will change my ways to atone, everything like that happens in the original. They're like, here's this bottle of vodka, and oh, you're going to start pouring it on the toilet? Well, here you go, audience. You know, our guy's becoming a good guy.
I'll take that.
And then he explicitly says in his note, and he's writing letters to his wife, his daughter, I've stopped drinking. I'm trying to become a better person.
Yes, I'll buy that. However, looking at it, the psychology of someone that's trying to torture someone, they kept feeding that. They kept keeping that line open. The other thing that
if you really wanted to torture them, you would take it away and then give it to them and then take it away.
Okay.
So they go through addiction and then withdrawal and then addiction with withdrawal.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do we want to just battle back and forth about ways to torture him?
Okay.
Okay. I liked the mouse. Because
I hated the mouse.
That was a way to torture him.
Here's why I hated the mouse.
Okay.
It's the stereotype is whenever you are down in the dumps, you can't get any lower, you're in jail or whatever in a Hollywood movie, you get a little mouse friend. Everybody gets a little mouse friend when they're in jail. And it is that's what pissed me off. Like I literally wrote down mouse friend stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a stereotype, it's a cliche, but that's what I wrote down. Because I was eating yummy buffalo dip that I made, and I wasn't thinking as much. And I was trying to type less, but cliche is easier to type than stereotype, so whatever.
Well, at least you didn't make it awkward and explain it.
But yeah, I hated it because it was so Hollywood. Let's be fair. I'm being 100% extra critical because I just watched Old Boy, and this doesn't live up to it.
I feel like I made that disclaimer too.
But it calls to me. It calls out all those things. They're like, there's this great movie that literally you could, if you wanted to, just make that movie, or like you said, take that concept and do something different with it. But instead, they have to Hollywoodize everything and dumb it down for their audience, and it's not. Spike Lee isn't a guy who dumbs things down, that's what pisses me off.
I was going to talk about this, too, because Spike Lee is a competent guy who usually has something to say. He doesn't say anything here. I mean, he's just regurgitating, and he's, in a weird way, whitewashing this. Is it whitewashed? I mean, it's Americanizing it, but is that whitewashed? I don't know. Speaking as white males.
I think whitewashing explicitly would be making something explicitly take place in a place that would be Asian and or whatever, and putting white people in there.
Okay, that's fair.
What was that shitty movie this year about the Chinese defending the wall or whatever, and it had like Matt Damon Willem Dafoe.
I think it might have just been called like The Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's whitewashing.
Okay, that's fair. But is a guy who's like so racially conscious, we can say racially conscious, right? It seems weird that he's taking this movie and putting just that white twist on it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems odd that it is so, but maybe this was, I know like Kevin Smith made the shitty Bruce Willis movie and he was like very much said like, I tried to make a Hollywood movie. I hated every fucking moment of it.
What shitty Bruce Willis movie did he make?
It was a comedy, Cop Out.
Oh, that he made that?
Yep. He directed it. He didn't write, but he said, like, I cashed a giant paycheck to make a Hollywood movie, and I was going to see if I could be happy doing that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, and he fucking hated Bruce Willis so much.
I think Bruce Willis might be a dick, which makes me sad.
I think everybody would say he's a dick. But I can respect that from Kevin Smith saying, like, yeah, I tried this to see if I could be happy making this for the money, and I can't. You know, is that what Spike Lee might have done here?
Maybe it was a cash in,
but also I would imagine he probably loved the original.
Maybe
it's just his love letter to it.
I really hope this isn't his love letter to that movie I feel like he could write something so much better. Did he write this?
I don't know.
Well, you look that up.
Let me look.
I'm gonna talk about.
Mark, papa.
Mark papa.
Yeah. So he just directed it. That's what I want to see is Jet Li getting this movie. Like he could have, I don't know, urbanized it, turned it into something else. But even down to the fact that they have Josh Brolin with dumplings, like,
yeah,
it's the exact same thing.
And he finds a piece of paper in the thing that just says dragon.
It literally just needed to be somebody's been in a trap for 10 years. Why? You could have called it Old Boy, right?
Right.
And somebody could have, because it could have then existed, I guess this could exist in the same world as the Korean one, but they could have just been two of the same stories. You could have made it the same company. Like, it could have been the same people running both groups.
Yeah. The dragon thing, I think, speaks to another thing about these two movies, is that the blue dragon is a plot point that moves the plot along. But it's also a plot point that takes a while to develop. Hey, Blue Dragon, let's go through everything. And he goes to like 100 restaurants and everything. But it is also an excuse to give more character time between Odesu and Midu. And that's what they do. In Josh Brolin's, in the remake's case, he goes, dragon. And then like 2 seconds later, he's there.
Yes.
Like, he puts it together immediately.
All the little tweaks, and it is not incredibly original, but I think they do an okay job, is Josh, and they didn't really touch on this in the original, is that there's not really that disconnect between having been gone for 15 years or 20 years. Josh Brolin's like, where are the payphones?
Right.
He's obviously weirded out by this touchscreen cell phone. He's trying to figure out how the internet works, things like that. And I think they do a fine job of that.
But again, they're just nods to it. It's, oh, I just type in here and hit enter. Okay, I can do this. Like, oh, what is this device? And then, like, they don't mention it. He knows how to use it almost instantly. Yeah. Which I think is a, as an Apple fanboy, a true achievement of the iPhone.
I think that the other thing they fail at is that the twist is exactly the same. With
that's the problem. That's the problem. He obsesses on his daughter,
mm-hmm.
which Odesu never does. Like, he laments that he wasn't there for her, like, maybe once or twice, but, like, this movie is all about his daughter.
But and also, anyone that's ever seen it can immediately tell you the twist. So the difference here, again, watch this movie, I'm going to spoil it. Josh Brolin is able to see his daughter growing up because they do vignettes of her on a television show growing up, right?
Right.
And anyone that's seen the movie immediately is going to see where this is going. And the twist is, that was not real. Of course, he's hooked up with Elizabeth Olsen, who's actually his daughter, and he slept with her. Even if they would have just made that different, just whatever made the exact same movie with the dumplings, but then given the fans of the original,
right,
something different. Hell, even if they would have left it that really would, like, they would have had you thinking, oh, that's obviously not really his daughter on TV, and left it his daughter on TV, that would have been a twist, quote-unquote, to the people that had originally seen the movie.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm, like, giving this movie credit, I feel like, oh, so obviously they're not going to do the daughter thing. What's the cool twist that's going to happen in this one? And then, like, I start, as the Elizabeth Olsen and Josh Brolin relationship grows, I'm like, they're just going to do the daughter thing again, aren't they? Because, I don't know. And I feel like it doesn't, like, Midu and Odesu fall in love. Like, when they have sex, like, she's obviously a virgin, and
yes,
it's very painful for her. Mm-hmm. But the whole time, she's just thinking about, does that feel good to you? And, like, I just want to make you feel good.
Yep. Josh Brolin.
Which is something that, you know, someone who's obsessive and in love, that's what they're generally going to think. Here, they just fuck. And yes, it's the same fucking Hollywood thing of a woman cleans his wounds and then they fuck.
Yes. Yep.
What's sexy about used bandages? Like, come on.
Dude, I'm rock hard right now just because you said used bandages. I always joke that that's a magic trick, the only magic trick that I can do. If you take a brand new, I could do it in front of you. I take a brand new Band-Aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the package, and I show it to you, and you'd be like, "That's, I would put that on my body. That's totally sterile." If I just open it up and lay it on the counter, you would be like, "That is the grossest thing ever. It's a Band-Aid that's loose. That's disgusting."
Okay.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a magic trick.
Ooh, yeah, it is. I would say it's a call. It's a
magic trick. Ta-da!
Samuel L. Jackson, kind of terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't like him. And I mean, you're not supposed to like him.
He's given, like, no screen time.
But not good. I thought the torture scene was fine.
Yeah.
So he cuts chunks out of his neck, pours salt on it. That was fine.
He wants to cut chunks out of his neck until he can pull his head off. Bare hands.
They do the hammer thing, not nearly as good and unsuccessfully.
Like, Spike Lee's like, I'm going to one-up this. I'm going to do it all in one take, and we're going to boom up, and it's going to have multi-levels. But here's the thing. I don't think they did nearly enough takes because there's way more whiffing and way more stunt guys waiting. So obviously they didn't do enough takes. They didn't do enough rehearsing, but they still wanted to get it all in one shot.
Yeah, and this is he could have just done something out. Like, get rid of the hammer. Give Josh Brolin a hockey stick. I don't know. I just pulled that hockey stick out of my ass and put him, on a bus. I don't know. And have him battle a busload of guys as they keep running on and getting on or coming in each door. I don't know. Anything else. But just all you would need is recreate a big fight scene. And then that is your remaking this movie. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that would be your homage to that and come up with something on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's the difference, though, is this is remaking a foreign film, so they are completely just saying this formula worked in South Korea. let's duplicate that here in America.
So you're a horror guy. Did you see The Grudge and The Ring and the Japanese versions?
Yeah.
Are they the same?
Pretty much, yeah.
But, like, do you feel the same way about those that you do about these?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah. I do. I mean, especially because there's no time frame in between. Like, I get remaking Last House on the Left, right? From the 70s till 2009 or whatever it was.
Sure.
There's a huge cultural, I guess I just use cultural and I was just referencing between countries, but. But there's a time cultural. Yeah, exactly.
Generational. That would have been a better word.
Yeah, it would have been.
So there's one big difference in this movie, and that's he doesn't catch the sister fucking the guy. She catches the sister fucking the dad.
Yes.
And turns out the dad fucks his daughter and his son.
Who is the worst villain ever?
He sucks.
The character is terrible. The actor has no sympathy because he seems like an archetype of a supervillain, but doesn't really. It's not like he has. But if this guy would have shot electrodes out of his hands, I would have believed it, because he is so like he looks evil, right? Like he looks like you're trying to. If you were to draw a cartoon of an evil character, this is him. Like he looks like he should have giant collar, pointed collar, right?
Right, or shoulder pads with spikes on them. Yes, or something.
He's awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
You know who's worse? His henchwoman.
Yeah. She looks like a character from Mortal Kombat. Remember Katana?
Yeah. As awful, or as not awful, as awesome as Bleach Blonde guy is, she's the exact opposite. In that, we know nothing about her. We get no screen time with her. She kicks his ass in the bar that one time, and the first time we meet, and then immediately dies when they meet next time. Like, she, like, throws a punch or a kick or something, and then immediately throat slash. Like, ugh.
Yeah, and I think it just goes to, like, the aura that somebody possesses, because you spend the equivalent amount of time with white hair guy in the original, but I'm literally saying I want to see a movie just focused around this dude.
Right. Because he says, why not try talking?
And he's got a presence, right?
Yeah.
And again,
I feel like this is a Hollywood thing of, what if it was a badass chick? Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah, and I feel the same way. As much as I love the villain from the South Korean version, that's how much I hate the villain from the 2013 version.
Right.
He's just awful.
And I'm not saying it shouldn't, when I say badass chick, it shouldn't have been a woman. It just give me a character, anyone. We at least we got a presence and a character in the original with the blonde-haired guy. We don't get this at all with henchwoman.
I was just nodding, and I realized that doesn't great play on audio. No.
Yeah. So dad, he catches them fucking out of embarrassment. They move to Luxembourg. Dad kills daughter, mom, himself, and shoots the son, but misses his heart and. So now that's why he did the revenge. And that's why he made Josh Brolin fuck his daughter.
Which, like, inherently feels flawed, because the villain here is happy about that. He was saying, my father was a great man. He did everything out of love. We had a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a good thing to him.
Yeah,
he wanted to continue, like, cause you see him. He walks in, like, when the dad shoots him, he's like, "Oh, hi, father," and he starts undoing his belt because they're gonna fuck.
Yeah, which the daughter did the same thing.
Yes, she did. But so, why is that a punishment? Why is that going to torture Josh Brolin when this villain thinks that was a beneficial thing for him? That doesn't, like, those. That wouldn't be his motivation, right? Wouldn't it be, let me take your daughter from you? If that's what he had happened to him, because he's upset, he can't fuck his dad anymore.
Right. I don't know. I think you could say the same thing about the other one. It's incest for incest.
Oh, I guess you're right. Cause he wanted to continue screwing his sister. So yeah, that's fair. Okay. my overall thoughts, kind of like I said, it would have been fine had you not seen that before.
Yeah. If I had seen this when it came out and hadn't seen Old Boy, it would have been fine.
Yeah, it's I was going to say it's almost not fair to compare it to the other one, but obviously that's what you're going to do. But
not only is that what you do, that's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so it's definitely it's I guess if you try to imitate something as near perfect as Old Boy is, you're going to be held to that standard.
Yeah,
and it doesn't live up to it.
I feel like Old Boy goes in to my tier of maybe perfect movies. I may need to watch it a few more times, but up there with Die Hard and Ghostbusters as one of those little gems.
I'm with you. I agree.
Station Agent. Station Agent's real good. Nebraska.
Maniac Cop 2. Just saying.
Yeah.
Next week.
We didn't get to do this last time.
No, we didn't.
Well, I guess we did last time. Oops. Recording these out of order. This is the film the Vatican doesn't want you to see. Wait. I like that the main quote is from Caracol Radio 1260. The fuck is that?
That's the best thing
someone could say about this. Like, the most important person to say something good about this movie.
Yep.
Inspired by true events, it is The Devil Inside. Is this the Sam Raimi one?
Nope.
That's like Hell or something, isn't it?
That's Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell, yeah. An instant horror classic. This is one that Marianne will not want to watch because she doesn't like demons. She went to Catholic school.
Hmm.
So, scared. I think demons and ghosts she's not really into. So, it is a nun on the front with weird, like, cataracty eyes. So, I'm guessing that this is going to be a demon possession horror inspired by Exorcist type movie.
Okay, that's fair. Good. Next movie, so you mocked that as having a positive quote by unknown people.
Okay.
This doesn't even have a quote by anyone.
Okay. From the producer of X-Men and Trick or Treat.
The weirdest. Like, they're trying to throw anything they can to get somebody to watch this movie.
We need one thing positive to put on the poster. Come on. Evil lives within you. The Taking of Deborah Logan. This looks like another possession movie. There's a weird, I think she's an old woman with, like, her eyes are sinking into her skull. It looks weird. I've never even heard of this movie. And there are a lot of possession-y movies that I feel like that you could have chosen. But you chose this one, so mm-hmm. There has to be a reason. She's not losing her mind. Someone is taking it. Bonus material. Making of featurette. That's it.
Wait, what else? Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That's weird. So it's from the producers of X-Men and Trick or Treat, and it has a making of feature.
Yeah, it sounds like something I probably would have heard of. Nope. Yeah, so I think it's going to be very much the same a devil possession movie. This one, not really. This one looks, it's probably going to take place in a creepy house. Because she's an old lady and old ladies live in creepy houses.
Okay. Which one are you going to prefer?
Probably The Devil Inside. Because I've heard of it.
All right, Justin, what else you got for us?
Hammer Time.
Never mind.
Yeah. So, you know, before when I said, oh, the one I think I'm going to like is The Devil Inside. Apparently, Russ frantically texts me and is like, I think we did the wrong movie.
No, I know we did the wrong movie because I was I started to watch it for the podcast and mm-hmm. I was like, this is not the movie that I was thinking of. It's fine, we'll roll with it. And I was like 3/4 of the way in and I was like, there's not going to be anything to say about this movie. I'm confident I'm not going to have anything to say about The Devil Inside. I should get